in Baton Rouge last week, and heard some great preaching and good fellowship. The food, it was Cajun. I told them down there, it's something about eating stuff that's used for bait up here. But anyway, the crawfish, they had crawfish. And the way they did it, they would, and these was big old crawfish. It was about like that. And whenever they cook them, they turn just as red. And you had to break them, you know, and then pull out that hunk of meat. Well, me and June wasn't going to break nothing and pull nothing out. So they insisted it was pretty good. I wouldn't ask for seconds, but it was pretty good. But the shrimp was real good, and I thought about Vance when he would go to them places. Now, he would just sit down and pile up, and he'd just dig in, and he'd rip the legs off and just keep getting it. And I never could do that. But we had a good time of fellowship, good food, good preaching, and be much in prayer for the church down there. Just like all other churches, there's rocky places and there's problems. I think Satan is really upping his game at the end of the dispensation of grace here to close the mouths of the ones that's preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And so be much in prayer about that. But we did. We had a good time. And June didn't get her mouth burned up like she did the last time. She loves corn on the cob. And she loves these little baked potatoes. And she didn't realize that when they fixed this shrimp and crawfish and all of that, they put them all in a pot. And they're boiling all this stuff, and they're putting the spices in there, and they throw in these little corn on the cob, cut half, and they put these little potatoes in there, and all that's in there. Well, guess where all the spices go? They go into the taters and the little corn on the cob, and you grab one of them, bite into it. You think you're visiting Satan's place. But anyway, she did that the year, a couple years ago, and I heard about her mouth all the way home. Yeah, Lord. But we had a good time, and again, I appreciate you for allowing us to go and do the work of evangelist, and I feel like going to these conferences. I turn down more than I go to because I just can't go to all of them. But the ones I do go, I try to represent y'all, and I feel like that's a part of the ministry to represent this church and to let them know that there are other pockets of believers that believe like they do, and we're fighting the same battles up here that they're fighting wherever they're at. And so just pray for all these assemblies. All right, I want you to look in 1 Timothy. I want to talk to you about two wheels. Now, if somebody will reach over there and turn that button on that thing. Kevin, you can go over there and turn it on, and somebody can turn it off. You know which one might have to get David. Let me show you.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
Okay, go, brother. Do Do we need that clicker?
Okay.
All right, look in 1 Timothy, and then we'll go over to 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, for this is good and acceptable. That's in verse 3 now. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. And that word ransom is he paid the debt. It's almost like you were kidnapped and Jesus Christ paid the ransom. You were kidnapped in sin and Jesus Christ paid the ransom to set you free. And that's the idea. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So he's the teacher of the Gentiles. He's the preacher and the apostle of the Gentiles. And he says so in Romans chapter 11, verse 13. He says, for I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. God give him that office. And me and Brother Kevin was talking about Cornelius before the service. Cornelius was a centurion of the Italian. He was a Gentile, one that feared God, gave much alms to the people. He feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Cornelius was a Gentile. Cornelius is not in the body of Christ, as a lot of people would have you to believe. Cornelius is in the kingdom of heaven, the little flock. And Cornelius didn't get into that little flock except by believing what he was doing was right, working righteousness, that God was accepted, he'd be accepted. And I'm saying all of this was, if Cornelius had been to be in the body of Christ, then why would God not send the apostle of the Gentiles to him with the gospel of the grace of God? Why did he send the leader of the little flock to Cornelius? In order, if he was to be in the body of Christ. But anyway, notice in 2 Timothy now. Now, verse 4 is what I want you to think about. God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's one will. That's God's will. Look in 2 Timothy and notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to talk to you about two wheels. But look at this wheel. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 25, talking to the servant of the Lord, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preaventure will give themselves repentance, and that repentance is a change of mind, repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So just as God has a will, Satan has a will. And Satan's will is to take people captive and hold them captive. And how does he do that? Well, he does that. Well, let's just look at some things about it. Then we'll go back to God's will. Turn over to 2 Corinthians and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Satan's will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lost people don't know what the gospel of Christ is. They don't know what the gospel of their salvation is. Do you know what the gospel of your salvation is? Do you know the good news that Christ did for you? Do you know how He can save you? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so that's the good news, that He gave Himself a ransom for all. He paid the sin debt that you could not pay to God Almighty. You are an offense to God. You were a sinner. You were born a sinner. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner by choice. You're a sinner by birth. You have a nature about you that you got from your mom and dad. And that nature is a nature that causes you to rebel against the things of God. And we have to bring our old body, even after we're saved. Paul said that he brought his body in captivity. I mean, he had to control his old flesh. Why? It's still an enemy against God. But anyway, this will, if our gospel, so my gospel of my salvation is that I've put my trust in what He did on the cross. I made a deposit to Him. Before, hang on to Corinthians and look back in 2 Timothy in chapter 1. Look in verse 12. Now we're going back to 1 Corinthians. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, Paul says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. That word commit is the same word as deposit. You made it a deposit. You commit your soul. You commit your eternal destiny to the fact that He died for your sins. That God the Father offered His Son a sacrifice for you, for your crimes, for your sins, for your debt that you cannot pay. You know, we use that illustration a lot. And I don't have one, or I would get it out and hold it up. The dollar. But I do have a mint. Silver and gold have I none, but a mint I do. That's Winston's mint. I'm giving it to him. When does it become his? You see, it's his. I declare it to be his. But he ain't got it yet. Why? He hadn't stood up and walked up here and get it. Say, well, that's work. No, I'm just saying, when you receive it, then it becomes yours. God's will is that He would have all men to be saved. Well, why ain't they saved? They haven't received it. The problem with you, if you're here lost today, is because you've never received Christ. And you've never committed to Him. You've never said, "Here it is, Lord. I cannot save myself. I give my soul to You. You died for me. I'm trusting that." And if you do that, you'll walk out of here saved. Do you know when you get saved? When you declare it done. You could, sitting in here today, you young people in here, if you've never trusted Christ, you don't know that you're saved. You know how you can get saved? You know that Christ went to that cross. If you've been here more than once, do you know that Christ went to that cross? They nailed Him between the thieves and the robbers. He had no sin to pay for. He was born of a virgin. He did not have the nature that you have. But they nailed Him to a cross. Do you know how He died for your sin? He was buried in the tomb, and on the third day He came up victorious. Do you know how you can be saved? You can be saved when you declare that your salvation is a done deal. I believe that. I believe that He died for me. And He was buried, and God raised Him for my justification. I believe that. It's over. I'm saved. You can declare it right now. And walk out of here a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's God's will. We're looking at Satan's will. Paul said there he committed it to the Lord in 2 Timothy. Now look back in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. God's will is all men. People say, well, and that doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you did while you were there. You say, well, you don't know how bad I am. I don't need to know how bad you are. There is nobody on the planet today that was as bad as Paul or Saul. I got to thinking about people cringe when you say, if Hitler would trust Christ or did trust Christ, God would have saved him. They say, oh. Hitler was a bright shining light compared to Saul. Saul was mad. Saul was despicable. Paul said of his life as Saul, he said, I was the chief of sinners. He blasphemed the Holy Spirit of God, number one. I mean, he done everything that was opposed to the Lord. He killed the Christians. He had them stoned. He gave his consent for. He was mad about them. He took their mamas and the daddies and the children, and he destroyed their homes. He put them in prison. If he didn't kill them before he got them there, this man was mean. He was angry. He was no count. And God saved him by His grace. So don't say, I'm too bad for God to save me. You're not. And don't say, I don't deserve it. Well, you don't. But nobody else does either. That's why it's grace. Notice in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The reason why he can blind their minds is because they don't believe. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Satan blinds people's minds, and how does he do it? He does it through religion. Do you see that little word there? God. Do you see that in verse 4? In whom the God of this world. There's his will. He wants to be a God. I think about this, and I can't, there's no verses that I can turn to you or turn and prove this. But I think when God created Lucifer, he created him full of wisdom, beauty, probably the crown of his creation. And I think when Lucifer saw how beautiful he was and how much wisdom he had and how his stature was as next to God. And I think I can just see it in my mind's eyes back there in eternity past. And God looked at Lucifer and told him he was his creation. I can see Lucifer when iniquity was found in him, turned to him and say, you never created me. I evolved just like you did. I think he's the starter of evolution. I think he's told God that he evolved. And you never created me. Turn with me to look in Isaiah. Isaiah. Notice in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And also turn over and go to Ezekiel and look in Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm going to read a verse out of Ezekiel 28 first. And I want you to look in verse 12. I'm going to read several verses. Look what he says there. Verse 12 says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now watch it. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. You know, I often wondered that iniquity. Most of the time in your Bible, iniquity has to do with religion, idolatry. Satan began to worship himself. Satan began, and that's why I said what I did, that he didn't think he was created. He believed he was evolved. He believed he just came into a being, and he's equal with God. You see, Satan, somebody say, well, why does Satan not just give up? Why? He knows he can't win. Oh, yeah. Satan, he knows this Bible. Satan does not believe this Bible. Satan does not believe what God says. Look in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Lucifer was his name before he fell, before he was cut down. He was the son of the morning. Verse 13, thou hast said in thine heart. Well, who do you reckon he said it to? He said something in his heart. Who was he talking to? Don't you reckon he was talking to the Lord? Who else would it matter? He said, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. This I will is not something he's wishing for. It's I will do it. It's like a defiance. He's defying God Almighty. He's saying, I will. Just like you tell somebody somebody not to do it, and they look at you in defiance and they say, I will do it. He's telling the Lord that. He believes he is equal or mightier than God. And look what he says. Well, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the Lord. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. He believes he's still evolving. He's still coming up to a being. He's getting stronger and stronger. And let me tell you something. He has got this world. And people are deceived. He's taken them captive. Satan's will is to take people captive. How does he do that? How does he blind people's minds? By putting a little red man with a tail and a pitchfork on a can, and they think that's the devil. I remember a little can. Do y'all ever remember that? I believe they call it Red Devil Eye or something like that. Yeah. I had my mama to point to that thing and say, scratch is going to get you. And that was what, you know, if you're bad, he's going to get you. Isn't that the attitude of the world? You better be good or he's going to get you. What does that tell people? It tells them if they're bad, they go to hell. It tells them if they're good, God will save them. No, no, no. That's not the way it is. But that's his perception. That's what he wants the world to see. I'll tell you, if Satan walked in this building right now, he'd probably have on a suit, a tie, and he'd want to preach. And you know what he'd preach? Turn on the televisions. What does people want to hear today? They want to hear how positive I am. They want to hear how to be a better you. They want to hear that God will pay all their bills if they'll sow the seed. They want to hear a prosperity gospel. They want to hear about a Christ that always does everything for them, just like that he's a Santa Claus, ready to pass out good gifts to the people. Isn't that what we tell our children? You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you. Go on, sing it. Who's watching you? He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. So what? Isn't there, so be good for goodness sake? Why? He's watching. Folks, that's the mentality of Satan influence on the whole world. Religion is his number one. And people will go to church. They'll sit in the pews. They'll give their money. They'll give their time. They'll labor for that organization. And they'll do it thinking that God's going to reward them into heaven for their work and for that church, instead of believing and receiving something. God, listen, salvation is not about you. What you do in your lifetime can never affect what was done in AD 33 in your behalf. People, I have people to come up and say, well, what about my future sins? Well, what about them? Well, how can God already forgive me of my future sins when I haven't committed them yet? Tell me something. When Jesus Christ died in AD 33, were all of your sins future? Yes, they was. And now, Kevin was reading in Ephesians about the body of Christ. Bring them into unity. Give pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, the building up of the body, till we all come into the unity of the faith. God would have the church, the body of Christ, those that are saved to believe the same thing. But to look at the church today, it's got thousands of religious denominations out there, and nobody believes the same thing. Splintered off. Well, that's not the work of the Lord. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Well, who is the author of confusion? It's satanic. Satan's will is to lead people captive. How does he do it? Through false doctrine, through religion. Getting people to believe they can be saved by the good works. And you can't. God's will is for all men to be saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is that? How is believe that he's the ransom. There's one man, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God gave his son the payment for your sins. And you honestly think that God will accept you based on your goodness and reject what his son did for you? Two wheels. You're either saved or you're lost. Everybody in this building right now, you're either saved, you're either in the body of Christ, or you're lost, and you're in Adam. And if you do not believe, then you're blinded. Because the light of the glorious gospel hadn't shined to you. Something's blinding it. Something is blinding you from seeing what I just preached to you. Now it could be you're trusting in your good works. It could be you're trusting in something else. But everybody in here is trusting something. Say, well, I'm not trusting nothing. I'm an atheist. You're trusting that there is no God. You put your faith in a man saying that there is no God somewhere down the road. But that don't make him go away. What are you putting your trust in tonight, day? The work for your salvation has been done. You're either on this side or you're that side. There is no middle ground today. There is no, I'm trying to be saved. I'm trying to get good enough. I'm growing in salvation. No, no, no. There ain't no growing in nothing. You're either saved or you're lost. If you're saved, you got saved somewhere, someplace, sometime. Somewhere you called on the Lord for salvation. And you may not have done it orally with your mouth, but in your heart somewhere you called upon him and trusted him for your salvation and your eternal destiny hinges on that particular time. Or the God of this world is your God. And he's a religious God. He's the prince and the power of the air. He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Why are they called the children of disobedience? They never obeyed the gospel. What is it to obey the gospel? It's to believe the gospel. When you believe it for yourself, and you've obeyed it, and God will receive you. That's how simple it is. There shouldn't be nobody in this building leave here lost. Because Jesus Christ died for you. If you'll trust that, God will save you. Reject that, Satan will blind you. Well, I don't believe that. You either believe that or you're believing what Satan's pumping into you. Two forces, two wheels in this world. You're either in one of them. Make sure it's the right one. Thank you for being here. You can go.